Welcome to The Marketing Menu, the delicious podcast with regular, relevant content to help your business grow and thrive. Jargon-free, easy-to-understand marketing tools with effective tips and tricks, and guaranteed no cheese.
Hi, and thanks for tuning in to The Marketing Menu, brought to you by me, Liz Gordon from Brilliant Fish PR and Marketing, and Nikki Matthews from MediaBox Marketing. Hi, Nikki. What tasty issue do we have for the listeners today?
Hi, Liz. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to getting our teeth stuck into this week's podcast, all about building a brand.
Yeah, me too.
Now, the word brand is talked about so much nowadays, and I still think there's a bit of confusion over what it actually means, particularly for those who are just starting up in business. So perhaps, would you mind, we could clarify what brand is exactly and what branding actually means?
Great stuff. I know several of my clients have thought that having a logo was a brand.
Yeah, indeed. A lot of people do. But there is more to it than that, isn't there? A logo is just the visual symbol, really, and usually may have one or two initials of the company in it. It may also incorporate the colour scheme that has to be chosen so that, you know, it's going to become instantly recognisable.
Talking of which, did you see that Cadbury tried to trademark the purple colour that it's used for its packaging for the last 100 years, but actually lost a court battle with Nestlé? That's how important colour can be in making a product stand out.
Yes, and similarly, I heard that Kit Kat were trying to trademark their four-finger chocolate bar, but they were also unsuccessful. So we certainly do associate brands with certain colours, but, you know, let's come on to that later, because, you know, we've actually got to have some sort of strategy behind it before creating a logo.
Yeah, back on track. So branding, what is it? And how do you decide which is the right branding strategy for your business?
Well, basically, branding is your statement to the customer about what it is you do. I think brand is who you are and marketing is your message. You own your marketing, whereas your consumers own your brand. So you want people to know what it is they can expect from your brand, and you also need to think about how your product or service is going to be conveyed. It's like saying, this is who we are, and what we want you to know about us is this. So a brand is sort of like the image you portray.
I like that. It's simple. So that's kind of like a mission statement. And I guess you could say branding is why, marketing is how. But what about the strategy? It's not the kind of thing you just throw together when you start out in business.
No, well, it certainly shouldn't be. It does need some careful thought because you may well be spending quite a bit of money on logo design, and then that's going to be obviously on your website, stationery, packaging, marketing materials, so on. So you're going to have to get it right.
What needs to be included then?
Well, so to start with, there needs to be some key questions answered, I suppose, which is, what is your company mission, the aims and objectives? What makes your products or services stand out from others? If you already have customers, what do they think about you? And what qualities do you want your customer to remember about your company?
Listeners can actually go back to podcast 4, which was all about what makes your customer tick, for some good tips on how to find out what your customers think about your business.
Good idea. And then when you've defined those and what your brand is and what it stands for, you can then start creating some brand messages.
How do you mean?
So what are the most important statements that you want your customer to know? Have these written down and defined, as then they can be the foundation for all your marketing materials.
I'd also recommend creating what are known in PR as boilerplates.
Sounds like something to do with trains.
I know. I have no idea why, as it's probably a printing term. But basically, they're the statements about your company or organisation that an editor might find useful when you send a press release. But you don't put the information in the body of the press release. So background information, really. And I'd suggest having a selection of 50-word, 100-word and 150-word statements at the ready that you can use whenever you need to.
I like that idea. So when we think back to podcast 5 about networking, you could also use those and adapt them to create your juicy intro.
Yes, you could indeed, because they say what you do in a succinct way. Anyway, back to branding. Once you've created some key messages, what then?
Well, I think consistency is hugely important. And what I mean by that is making sure that these messages are seen and heard across, you know, the business and everywhere, really.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the key messages that you have thought about for so long and hard, they really need to be incorporated into your business and marketing plans.
So right back to podcast 1 then.
Right the way back, yes. So we don't throw these podcasts just straight together, you know. There is a theme here. So the branding has to reflect and inform the way you do your business. Branding is the reason somebody buys, and marketing is the reason somebody thought they'd buy in the first place.
I see. And your business needs to be living and breathing the brand through things like the way you communicate with customers, how to write emails, how you answer the phone, how you deal with complaints, and how your staff dress.
Well, it'd be great if it all worked that well, wouldn't it? But that's what I mean about consistency. Now, I know you've been working with somebody recently on personal branding, haven't you, Liz?
I have, and that's been really interesting, actually, because although there are some of the same basic principles as company branding, there are some issues that are specific to a personal brand.
Like what?
Well, focusing on what it is he actually does and translating that into words was the first thing we had to do. He's an entrepreneur, so his life is very varied, and it's taken some time to define what he is and what he stands for personally without crossing too much over into his business brand.
Challenging then?
Yeah, it has been. And one of the most challenging aspects has been creating a perception of monetary value around him rather than a product or service. We've worked on developing him as an expert or a thought leader in his field by crafting the content that he publishes on his social media, which is distinctly different from his business.
But why have two different brands?
Because he's an individual businessman. He wanted to promote himself but have a different persona for his business. In reality, there's a lot of crossover, but there are stories and updates he posts on his personal social media, particularly some of his personal ethos, that wouldn't be appropriate for his business accounts. Interestingly, he uses Instagram very successfully for his personal brand, but not for business.
Yeah, businesses really need to be clear about this as well, because branding is about what the company stands for, not the individuals. And I know we're going to be covering this a little bit more on how that translates to social media in our next podcast in a fortnight's time.
So this seems a good time to remind listeners that if you're enjoying this Marketing Menu podcast, please do make sure you share and subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn or Blueberry when this edition's finished. And please, we could really do with increasing our audience. So if you're on Twitter or Facebook, please follow us at Marketing Menu. That's MKTNGMENU or at The Marketing Menu on Facebook, as we'd really like to get out there and help as many growing businesses as possible.
And can we have a chat about some of the big brands that we know and love and sort of how they're successful and try and pull all this into context a bit?
Yeah,
Liz,
that would be interesting.
Yeah. Let's think about McDonald's. Love them or hate them. There's a lot behind all this.
And of course, they've been running an ad campaign telling people all about the 100% meat they use because people thought they were using all the unmentionable bits.
Yeah, and McDonald's is another great example of how to get it wrong too. Look at their recent campaign using a bereaved child as an example of how their burgers created memories and connections.
They got it completely wrong this time. I've been calling it a PR fail on social media.
Yeah, it really was. And the key is, I suppose, that McDonald's has no connection to childhood bereavement support or any linked charity to somehow underpin the message. So it sort of came out of the blue and wasn't consistent with their brand message.
Yeah, I guess they missed an opportunity there. Although I agree, I saw this as a bit contrived because it wasn't linked to a national campaign.
Yeah, most people know McDonald's is more than just about burgers and that they do some social good.
What about the golden M as their logo?
That's changed a lot over the years, but it's been the one we're drawn to since 1973.
And did you know the Coca-Cola logo has barely changed since 1886?
Wow. So let's think about logos then a little bit. This is where we started this podcast. So hopefully now listeners can understand how a logo can't just be created until the branding strategy has been decided and understood by the whole organisation.
Actually, my own Brilliant Fish logo is an example of this.
So how did you come up with the name?
Well, originally, I wanted to be Big Fish PR with the idea that we help little fish become big fish. Do you get it?
I see, yeah.
But when I came to register the name at Company's House, it was already being used. I was gutted.
I bet you were. Although, Liz, that's a really bad pun.
I am so sorry. So we had a brainstorming session with the other directors and we wrote down all the words that we associated with the business and its clients. We couldn't lose the fish for some unknown reason, even though we tried. And then our Mac came up with Brilliant because our clients are.
Clever, but what about the logo?
Well, obviously we needed a fish. So we found a picture of a goldfish and our designer cleverly changed the colour of the fins to blue. The meaning behind all this was that we help you to stand out in the shoal of other businesses out there. And people mention all the time about how different it is.
Great story. So there are some basic steps to follow when creating a logo. The first thing to do is to have a look at what your competitors are doing. They may well be using an image that is related to your business. Say, for example, you're a vegetarian restaurant and you want to include a picture of a particular veg. Make sure your competitors aren't using the same.
Yes, you do want to avoid veg wars.
Precisely. But seriously, if your logo is too similar to another one, you'll lose impact of what it is you're trying to say. Unless, of course, you're a fake perfume or fashion brand who's deliberately trying to make their logos the same to mislead the customer.
So what else do we need to know about creating a logo?
So think carefully about the style of font that you're going to use and also the colour. Back to what we were saying at the start of the podcast and also in podcast 5 about customers' perceptions of colour, there is loads of research on this. So if you're a vegetarian restaurant, you may want to include green in your colour palette to imply freshness and nature, for example.
And I guess the font also has to carry over into what you use for marketing materials and emails?
Yes, indeed. That means that people will have to learn to identify that font with your brand. And it's worth saying that you can have a typeface actually specially created for you, but that does tend to cost a bit.
Are we telling our listeners to avoid word art and clip art?
Oh, most definitely yes. Gosh, they're a blast from the past. A cheap logo will look exactly that, cheap. And you have to ask yourself, is that the image you want your customers to associate with you?
Probably not. I must say I like the emphasis on logos which are purely typeface because they look modern and clean.
Yeah, for sure. But it's really worth getting a designer to create a logo for you. Please, please, please. But be warned, you know, you do need to be very specific about what it is you want your logo to represent. And that's where the strategy bit comes in.
I guess that will stop any relationship with a designer turning horribly sour when they keep producing images based on their own assumptions, which don't match your own.
Yeah, you've got it. You've got to be very clear. So if you have a picture in your head of how you'd like it to look, then tell them. It's equally as important, actually, to say what it is you don't like. But then be a little bit prepared to be flexible if they have a better idea of how your branding translates into an image, say.
Can I just say at this point, Nikki, that I absolutely love what you've done with the marketing menu branding. The speech bubbles depict what we do, and I love the menu theme that runs through all the images you produce for social media.
Well, thank you very much, Liz. I've loved creating them, although I'd say my problem is between you and me that as I get a little bit design tired, and after a while I do see a new logo and I think, oh, we could be a bit more like this, and off I go messing around, before I know it. I know you're going to caution me against this.
I am. Certainly, because if you do keep changing your colours, fonts and logos all the time, how are people going to recognise you? You can't afford to build something and then throw it in the bin because you're bored.
Ultimately, listeners, remember that branding is about building loyalty and marketing is about generating response. Or better put, branding is the bones and marketing is the meat. Obviously, this is just an introduction to building a brand and I think we need to come back to this on another podcast.
Most definitely. So listeners, we've come to the end of this, I think we can safely say, delicious podcast. Don't forget, we also offer a free transcript of all our podcasts on our website, themarketingmenu.com. So if you're not already on our website, head over there to download your copy.
And of course, we are here to tailor content around your needs. And if you have any questions, please do get in touch. But most of all, please share our channel with others who you may feel will benefit from tuning in.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We're very glad you chose us, as we know there are a lot of other podcasts and webinars out there. We very much hope that what we've shared today will give you some tips to build your own brand.
Yep, so tune in again on Wednesday the 14th of June, when the subject is all going to be about the huge subject of social media in your marketing. So this is a goodbye from me, Nikki Matthews at MediaBox Marketing, until next time.
And me, Liz Gordon at Brilliant Fish PR and Marketing. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to The Marketing Menu, brought to you by Nikki Matthews and Liz Gordon. Episodes are every 2 weeks on Wednesdays. Please share, subscribe, or add reviews, and stay in touch for more bite-sized marketing tasters for growing businesses.